Now, Andrea is in Georgia, right? The cousin's wedding, right? So she's up there. I didn't lift her up in prayer, but we want to pray for her time with her family and that celebration and her journey, because we're going to talk about journey. We're going to talk about a journey. Then in the Bible passage you heard, man set out on a journey. Now, you remember, we've been talking about the Gospel of Mark. We know how things are different, set up the way Mark sets it up. Chapters 1 through 9, where have they been? They've been in Galilee. A couple of side trips, but mostly Galilee. That's the region from there, where they're from. That's their hometown. That's where they are. But once we transition to chapter 10, once we go to chapter 10, they're going to leave Galilee behind. And now where are they heading? They're going to go through Judea, and they're going to go to Jerusalem. That's the way Mark tells it. In Mark, they only go to Jerusalem once. And we know what happens at the end of that journey. So as chapter 10 is starting, and as we hear these passages being read, it's important for us to remember the geography of what's going on, because the geography is impacting the theology about what all of this means. And as they're on this journey, on this journey to Jerusalem, which ends in a cross, not a picnic. All right? It is a heavy burden that is waiting for them at the end of this journey. As they begin the journey, this man, Mark says, this man comes before Jesus. Now, in Mark, it's just a man. In Matthew, Matthew says he's young. How do you know that? Well, he knelt. The rest of us, we wouldn't have been able to do, well, maybe kneel, but getting back up would have been hard. In Luke, he says he's a ruler. But in Mark, he's just a man. He's just a man. And he comes before Jesus and he says, what do I have to do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus begins by asking him about the commandments. Don't kill, don't commit adultery, don't defraud, honor your parents. And the man replies, I've done all of these. And then you get to verse 21. And Jesus, looking at the man, loved him. Loved him. Matthew and Luke don't tell us that part. But Mark does. Mark tells us that Jesus looked at this man and loved him and then said the truth. The truth. You ever notice how hard it is sometimes to handle the truth? Huh? Do you remember the line in the Jack Nicholson movie, Few Good Men? Remember that? You can't handle the truth! Remember that? Sometimes the truth, it's necessary, but it's hard. It's hard to accept. But now you think about it. Suppose you got a car, all right? And you take that car to the mechanic. And the mechanic says, well, look, I know car repair and car maintenance is expensive. Oil changes and batteries and tires and alignments. And I know it's inconvenient because then you're without your car. You know what? Don't worry about it. Now, he's telling you what you want to hear, but is that a mechanic you're going to trust? Are you going to take your car to that mechanic? No. Or suppose you're a doctor. Suppose you're a doctor and you have a patient coming in smoking 5 packs of cigarettes, all right? Bottle of whiskey on their hip, all right? They're overweight, they're smoking, their blood sugar's off the roof, their high blood pressure all over the roof, and you tell them, oh, go ahead, drink and smoke all you want, sit on the couch, you know, eat all the ice cream and chips that you want. How's that going to work out for your patient? You're telling them what they want to hear. But if you really love them, and if you really care for them, you speak to them the truth. And Jesus loved this guy. Loved this guy. And he looks at him, and he looks at his life, and he says, you're just lacking one thing. You're just lacking one thing. It's hard. It's hard. It's so hard. Jesus told him the truth. It was necessary, but it was hard. And Jesus looks at us, and He loves us. And He thinks that we can handle the truth. He looks out at us and He loves us. And we're here today because we love God. We're here today because we love Jesus. We're here today because Jesus loves us. And so I look out and I see good people. Anybody here commit murder this week? We're in church. No? No? Anybody here steal? Anybody here bear false witness? Commit adultery. What about that? No? 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 See? You're good people. You're good people. You're here because you're good people. You're here because you love God. You're here because you love Jesus. You're here because you know Jesus loves you. And He thinks you can handle the truth. And what the truth is, He's trying to teach us math. Did you know that? Jesus is trying to teach us math. He's trying to teach us what to count and who to count and how to count. You see, Jesus' math is different than the math we learned in school. You see, if you read the Gospels, you find out Jesus is, you know, see, we're not very good at Jesus' math. Because, well, Jesus' math is confusing, all right? We're not good at Jesus' math because we keep subtracting and dividing what Jesus wants us to add and multiply. You notice that? We keep wanting to subtract and divide people out of the kingdom, and Jesus is trying to add people and multiply the kingdom, and we keep doing it wrong. And we keep, you know, we keep adding and multiplying where Jesus wants us to subtract. Jesus' math is different than our math. It's not 2 plus 2. It's not finding X. Jesus' math means subtracting in order to add. We subtract in order to add the kingdom of God. We subtract in order to add eternal life. We subtract by taking away those things that possess us. Now, for the man in our story, it was his possessions. His possessions possessed him. But the truth of the matter is we all have things that possess us. We are possessed and obsessed over our financial security, over our health. We are possessed by our pride. We are driven by our desire to be popular, to be liked, to be loved, to be well thought of. We want to have power and control. We are possessed by anger, by hurt, by grief, by sorrow, by fear, by resentment, by jealousy. We are possessed by guilt, the need to be right. Anybody besides me? All right, I'm the only one. That's good, because I'm right and you're wrong. The desire for success. Jesus looks at us and He loves us. And He says, give up your excuses. Don't tell me your reasons. Give it up. Give it up. Give up your prejudices. Give up your judging of others. See, sometimes we hear that story and we think it's bad news, and the reality is it's good news. Because Jesus wants to add something to us. Jesus wants to give us something. And the only way we can get it, the only way we can receive it, is if we're willing to empty ourselves before Him. See, the good news about this story is that Jesus loves us and He wants us to have something. He loves us so much, He wants the very best for us. He believes in us. He sees us and He says, I know you can do this. I will help you to do this. We'll do this together. Let me help. He speaks to us out of love. Now, in the Bible story, the man walks away sad. You heard that part. He walks away sad, and, And maybe Jesus walks away sad too. And then Jesus talks about how hard it is. And he talks about the difficulty. And he talks about giving up those things that possess us. And sometimes we still have a hard time hearing that part, don't you? Verse 24, we have a hard time hearing that part. And so you know what we have done? We've changed it. We have. Yeah. Seriously. The King James Version, verse 24, you know what it says? How hard it is for those who trust in riches. Well, that ain't in the text, but it's in the King James. Oh, well, I don't trust in riches. I just have a lot of riches. So long as I don't have to give them up, I'm okay with that. Others, back, it's not just us, but back in the Middle Ages, you know what they did? They had some scholars coming up, okay? And they said, when Jesus said, camel through the eye of a needle, what he meant was that in Jerusalem, there was this wall, and there was this special gate, all right? And in this special gate, it was real small, so the invading armies couldn't come running through, and so it was real small, and in order for a camel to get into Jerusalem, what it had to do is you had to take everything off of the camel, and the camel had to get down on its knees, and then it could just wiggle its way through the wall and get into Jerusalem. And that's what Jesus meant. Jesus meant, Lord, take this camel and shove it. Except there was never such a gate. Ruined the whole sermon. You have this great metaphor, and it's not true at all. And so then what they've done is, here you go, you get to have some Greek, okay? So look, you're getting cake today and Greek lessons. Isn't this great? All right, so what they said is, he doesn't mean camel, he means rope. Kind of like what I did with the children's sermon. Because in Greek, you spell rope, K-A-M-I-L-O-S. That spells rope. You spell camel, K-A-M-E-L-O-S. Only one letter difference and they sound the same. Oh, so Jesus meant a rope. How's that going to help? You going to be able to put a rope through the eye of a needle? I can't even put a piece of thread through the eye of the needle. That's why I didn't pass it around. I was afraid they'd take it out. Then I would be stuck. No. Jesus said exactly what he meant. He said, it's impossible. It's impossible. He looks at us, he loves us, and he says, the one thing you lack, what you need to give up, is impossible. You can't do it without God. People in recovery know this. First step, second step. First step, you recognize. Second step, you surrender. Jesus looks at us and he loves us and says, there's one thing you lack. And you say, God, I could never give that up. I can't give that up. And Jesus says, no, you can't. You can't by yourself. You cannot. But together, we can. If you will give me your trust, I will give you the ability to give it up. Whatever the it is. See, in the story, the man walks away sad, and maybe Jesus is sad, but I'd like to think that the story doesn't end sadly. Now, it's not in the Bible, but I want to think that maybe after the man left Jesus, he got to thinking about it. And maybe after a few days or a couple of weeks or a few months or maybe even after some years, he came to a point of surrender. I'd like to think that he was able to get rid of all those possessions, that he did give it away to the poor, and that he did choose to follow Jesus. I'd like to believe that. I'd like to think that it's not too late for him because it's not too late for us. No matter what we have built with our life, it's not too late for any of us. And sometimes, you know, we hear these stories and we say, oh, well, if I, you know, it would be easy. I'm reminded of a preacher in a farming community, and he's preaching away, and he says, "And if you had a garage full of Ferraris and Maseratis, would you give them away?" And they all say, "Yeah." "And if you had a vault filled with diamonds and rubies and emeralds, would you give them away?" And the people say, "Yeah." "And if you had a barn full of cows, would you give them away?" He says, "What happened?" He says, "Well, we all have cows." It's easy for us to talk about things that we would do for things that don't affect. I can tell you how easy it is for me to not have cigarettes. I don't need cigarettes. Why? I don't smoke. Never smoked in my life. Don't want anything to do with it. I can't stand cigarettes. I don't smoke. Easy. All I have to do to get to the kingdom of heaven is give up smoking. No problem. I'm in. But if Jesus says, "What about your pride?" Guilty as charged. Guilty as charged. Jesus loves us, and He believes in us, and He believes that we can do this, not by ourselves, but with God. With God, nothing is impossible. And we can't give up those things which are possessing us and controlling us, that we obsess over, our fears, our lies, our greed, and enjoy a life filled with meaning and purpose, rich in that fulfillment. Jesus looks at us and He looks at our lives and He loves us. And because He loves us, He says, "You know, I want to add something." Jesus looks at us. He says, I want to give you something. He says, "Because you're lacking one thing. You're lacking one thing. Let me give you the kingdom. I would like to give you the kingdom of God. Give me that which possesses you, and I will give you the kingdom. I will set you free. It will no longer possess you. You will no longer be obsessed or consumed by it. It will no longer own you. Give it to me, and you will live in the eternal freedom of grace." A lot of people say they want to meet Jesus, but you read a story like this, and I have to say, are you really sure? Are you really sure? Because if you do, I can tell you something's going to happen, because He loves you. And because He loves you, He's going to look at you. And because He looks at you, He's going to ask you to let go of something. Something you've been holding on to. Something maybe you even think it's a good thing. Maybe it's a dream. "Oh, I had this dream, and this is the way it's all going to go." And yet Jesus knows that that's a dream that's going to lead to your destruction. Do you remember the movie Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade with Sean Connery and Harrison Ford? And the father has spent his entire life looking and searching for the Holy Grail, the cup of Christ. Remember that movie? And the whole time they've been going after adventure, and the son ends up helping him out. And there it is, finally, the cup of Christ right there. And it's over on the other side, and the son is desperately reaching for it. But it's dangerous. And the father, who has committed his whole life for this quest, his whole dream, tells his son, "Let it go. It will destroy you." Sometimes Jesus looks at our dreams and says, "Let it go. It will destroy you." Now, I don't know what God's asking you to give up. Maybe it's a resentment. Maybe you're just in a sea of anger and bitterness, and you're drowning in this hate. And Jesus is telling you, "Let go of that stone. It's taken you down. Let it go. Let me lift you up." I don't know what the one thing is God's asking you to give up. It might be a grudge. It might be a resentment. It might be wealth. Maybe it's fear. Maybe it's pride. Maybe it's control. Maybe it's hiding. Jesus loves you and He wants to set you free, but it's your choice. It's Jesus' math, and He's teaching us how to count and what to count. And He sees what we are lacking and He wants to give it to us. He offers us the kingdom and a life full of grace. But all we have to do to get it, to let it go and receive Him, His love, and His grace. Trust in Jesus. Amen. Amen.